Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. And something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we see Israel as God's vine but never brought forth the fruit that God intended. And now as we once again look at the 15th chapter of John, our focus is on the subject of abiding, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
I wanted to kind of go back over some of the things that we looked at in the previous study and just take a bit of a different look and get just a bit of a different perspective, a different emphasis. You know, with all of these chapters and topics, you literally could spend weeks or months, you know, breaking this down. And we're moving fairly rapidly through John, but we'll slow it down a little bit. But let's pick up again in verse 1, but we're going to really focus in on a few of the verses here. But Jesus is speaking, and he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And we talked about how Jesus here is making a contrast between himself and Israel as a nation. They were seen as God's vine, a choice vine, as we saw from Isaiah chapter 5, but yet, tragically, a vine that never really brought forth the fruit that God intended. But out of that nation, there came this one, the Messiah. And he would be the one that would truly bear fruit for God. And he would be the one that would really embody in his own being the vine itself. And so he says, I am the true vine. And then he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And so we considered that in quite a bit of detail previously. But then he goes on and he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Abide in me. Jesus says this over and over and over again. And we talked about how what he's calling us to is, you know, basically continuing to believe in him and looking at it as we did in its original context. He's speaking to these men and he's telling them, basically, keep believing in me. remain in me as you have. And then, you know, the desire of the Father will be fulfilled. You will bear much fruit. But taking it and moving it out of its immediate context and looking at it more specifically in regard to us, let's think about this whole picture of abiding. Now, the word abide has many synonyms, and there's a few that I think really, for me anyway, they really, you know, they drive home in a more powerful way what it is that Jesus is describing here. And I like the synonym live. We could say remain in me, reside. I like reside too. Live, continue. But, you know, for me, the word live, I think, really best describes what Jesus is talking about in a sense that we can really grab hold of it. You know, Jesus is basically saying, just plant your life in me. Just like a branch is connected to the vine. And the union is essential. The branch cannot exist apart from the vine. Not only can it not bear fruit, it can't even actually live. You go out and snip a branch off of a bush or off of a tree or whatever the case, and you know, it's just a matter of time before the branch withers and it dies. And that's what Jesus is saying. Apart from me, there's no life. Apart from me, there's obviously no fruit, because if you've got no life, you can't really bear any fruit. But the picture, again, is this picture of living in Christ and having our lives so rooted in Christ that everything in our lives basically revolves around Him. You see, that's the picture. It's not enough to just attend church occasionally. It's not enough to just drop into a Bible study once in a while. It's not enough to, you know, pick up your Bible occasionally and read a chapter here or there. It's not enough to do a little bit of Christian service every now and again. It's not enough to, you know, speak to somebody about the Lord occasionally. What Jesus is talking about here is a life that is just so connected to Him that it becomes our very life. He becomes our very life. He becomes the center of all that we are about, all that we're doing, all that we're involved in, all that we're living for. That's what He's talking about. Now, you know, sadly, but it is true, there are many people in churches all over the world today who are connected to the church, maybe, but they're not abiding in the vine. They don't have that vital union with Jesus Christ. They're not drawing their life from Him, and they're not really bearing the kind of fruit that God is looking for. Jesus here is talking about fruit. He's talking about much fruit. He says fruit. He says more fruit. He says much fruit, an abundance of fruit. He's wanting us to have fruitful lives. Lives that God will look at and delight in. Lives that God will say, yeah, look at this. You know, there are people that are into plants and, you know, that sort of thing. And there are a lot of people that take great pride in their husbandry, take great pride in the fact that they've cultivated these, you know, various plants and things, you know, rose bushes and different kinds of flowers. And they've put all this effort in and all this time in the cultivating process. And in a sense, that's what God is wanting to do. He's wanting to see us as such a healthy, vibrant plant that He could show us off. He can put us forth and say, look at this. Many places in the Old Testament use this kind of symbolism to speak of the spiritual life, to speak of the life of the believer. God talks about the fact that they will be trees planted by the river of water. He talks about, you know, various types of trees and likens his people to these types of trees or these types of plants and things like that. Olive plants and all these different plants or trees that he refers to. And this is a picture that occurs over and over in Scripture. And again, it's that idea of health and vitality and fruitfulness and blessing upon our lives. But you see, it's only going to be that way if we are connected in the way that we ought to be. And if we allow that husbandman to do that work of pruning, that work of cleansing, that work of cultivating. But as we're just abiding in Jesus, as we're living in Him, as we're living our lives focused on Him, centered on Him, all of that's happening. And the byproduct is fruit. And again, we talked briefly about what that means. It means a lot of things. It means godliness. It means a holy life. It means love. It means other souls being produced, people being impacted through our lives and our testimonies and things like that. But you know, as God looks at us, that's what He's looking to see. He's looking to see fruitful people. People who are just so connected with Him that He's able to flow through their lives and through their efforts and through their energies and through their giftings and abilities and all that. He's just able to be working out His plan and His purpose. You know, that's really what the Christian life is. It is God pouring His life into us and then pouring His life out from us to others. That's what the Christian life is. It's God living through us. And the fruit is really that life of God that's flowing out from our lives in 100 different ways. But it's all related to this one issue of abiding, this one idea of just being there with Jesus. Now, as I mentioned previously, He's calling these men to continue to believe in Him. And yet, I think if we look at it from the believer's point of view, or more specifically in reference to those, okay, I'm continuing to believe in Jesus, like He said, so I'm abiding in that sense, but is there a deeper sense? Is there another level? And I think that there is. I know for myself, I know that if I have those seasons where I'm too busy, where I'm distracted, where I'm not really taking the time to really seek the Lord, you know, I'm doing my Bible reading like I normally will do, get in my chapter or two a day or whatever it is, but you know, it's not anything that I'm really saturating myself with or really being absorbed by because, oh, I've got to go do this and I've got these other priorities and things. I know for myself that when I'm in a place like that, which I am occasionally, I notice that there's sort of a diminishing of fruit. The joy's not there. Peace isn't there. The patience isn't there. Those kinds of things. The love maybe isn't there. And even in the various activities that I'm involved in the various efforts to serve the Lord, I'll notice a kind of a dullness and that sort of a thing. And, you know, there are those times when I've looked at this passage and just suddenly realized that's what's happening. I'm not abiding in that deeper sense. I'm not taking the time. I'm not making the effort to saturate myself in the Lord and in His life. That's what Jesus is talking about, abiding in Him. And all of the things that He says. In verse 7, He says, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now again, we mentioned that that had a primary application to the apostles, but it certainly has an application to us as well. And the promise is, if we're living our lives in Jesus, if we're just rooted in Him, deeply rooted in Him, we're going to be asking for things and we're going to be seeing God work. We're going to be seeing answers to our prayers. And if we're not seeing answers to our prayers, if we're not sensing that God is responding to the things that we're asking for. Maybe it's because we're asking for all the wrong things. And of course, if we're not abiding in that deeper sense, then we easily could be asking for all the wrong things. It's not hard to drift away from the center and then to just sort of get just, you know, maybe even slightly off, but then everything changes. Your perspective changes, your priorities change, your desires change. Then suddenly you find yourself asking for things that those aren't really the things that God wants to be granting, because they're not things that will really benefit us spiritually. They're not things that will ultimately really glorify Him. But it's when we're in that place of that real abiding, that's when, you know, I'm asking, and my asking is so in tune with the Spirit of God that, man, the Lord's just, He's able to grant those requests because we're asking for the right things. Now, in verse 9, He gives us another key to understanding what it is to abide. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And then He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So here's where obedience comes into the picture. And remember in chapter 14, Jesus said something that was similar regarding keeping the commandments. And we pointed out back there that this is just a broad term for God's word. It's not a specific or the Ten Commandments specifically. It's just a way of referring to God's word in general. So Jesus says, if we keep His word, we will abide in His love. Obedience is, it's essential to abiding in His love, being in that place of experiencing God's love and God's blessing. You know, in that little epistle from Jude, he says an interesting thing there. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Do you remember reading that? Keep yourselves in the love of God. And you might ask a question, well, how do we do that? What does that look like? And I thought that God always loved us. After all, doesn't the Bible say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son? And doesn't it say that while we were yet sinners, Christ demonstrated His love for us and so forth? And yes, it says all of that, but it also says to keep yourself in the love of God. And I think what Jude is really talking about there is that there's the possibility that we could put ourselves outside of the sphere of experiencing God's love and His blessing. It's not that He doesn't love us. He still loves us, but He's not able to do for us what He'd like to do because our disobedience has put us in a place of being cut off from that. That's what Jesus is basically talking about here. If we're going to abide in His love, if we're going to experience that love and that blessing upon our lives, it's contingent on this one thing. It's contingent on obedience. Just illustrating it from the human standpoint, maybe you've had this experience. You love your children. You always love your children because they're your kids, and you love them. But there are times when, even though you love them, you're not really able to show them the love that you have for them, or they're not able to experience that love or benefit from that love because they put themselves in a place where they're outside of that sphere of blessing through disobedience, through rebellion, or, you know, something like that. And there are many relationships where there is an estrangement between the parent and the child. And if you were to talk to the parent, they would say, oh, I love my child. But yet, if you were to talk to the child, they'd say, well, I don't think my parents love me. Well, why not? Well, you know, they don't do anything for me. They, you know, a list of reasons why. But then you investigate it a little further and you find that, oh, well, look, there's this problem here. There's this rift here. There's this rebellion, this disobedience that's cut you off from receiving practically the love that they actually do have for you. And that's what can happen sometimes in our lives as God's children. because of disobedience, because of rebellion, because of a failure to keep his word, we put ourselves in a place where even though God loves us, he's not able to bless us like he wants to because we've got this sin issue that is in the way. So Jesus is telling us how to make sure that we don't find ourselves in that kind of a predicament. Keep my commandments and you will abide in my love. So we must be obedient to the Lord. And if we fall into disobedience, we'll cut ourselves off from the blessing until we get that rectified, until we come to the Lord, humble ourselves before him, and ask him to forgive us. And of course, he will do that at that time. But as long as we're holding on to something, as long as we're in an area of disobedience, we will put ourselves outside of experiencing his love. But Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." He says, "I'm telling you this so your joy will be full." He's telling us how to have a fullness of joy. It's by abiding in him. How do we abide in him? We abide in him practically by obeying him, by keeping his word. Now he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." So what is the commandment? It's to love each other. You know, this commandment is repeated over and over again in the scriptures. And I've discovered why. God says it over and over again. It's because we need to hear it over and over again, because we can easily get into a place where we're not loving each other. We're not loving the people that we ought to be loving. Somebody does something that we don't like. Somebody says something that we don't like. We get irritated and, you know, then there's a rift. There's a division that happens. But he calls us to love each other, and then he says, "As I have loved you." Now, he said this back in chapter 13 as well, and we looked at it when we were back in chapter 13. But this commandment, back in chapter 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another." Now, maybe you remember, we talked about that wasn't, to love one another wasn't really a new commandment, because you could find that commandment back in the law of Moses. The new part of it was that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says it again here, and then he tells us exactly what he means by that. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." That's what he's talking about. Love one another as I have loved you. This is it, laying down one's life for his friends. And then he says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you." You know, think about this great love of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said something that was so, it was just so powerful. It was so moving. He was talking about the work of Jesus on the cross. And he said, the hardest work that God ever performed was on the Day of Atonement, when Jesus made that atonement for us. But on that day, when Jesus went to the cross, it was a day of intense labor. God spoke the universe into existence. He had to work to save us. He had to bring himself not only to the point of exhaustion, he literally worked himself to death to save us. You think about that, how powerful that is. And I was just thinking in my mind of just the agony of the cross and all the actual physical labor that Jesus went through. The trials and the beatings, the scourging, the carrying of the cross, being nailed to the cross, hanging on the cross, and the exhaustion that he experienced there. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus there demonstrated the greatest love possible.
We'll continue to learn more about life in Jesus in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues to encourage us to love as Jesus loves. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled Abiding. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT3257. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.